As we continue our last Sunday on stewardship, our lay leader and friend, Betty McGee, is going to bring our final message about giving. And some of you thought that I wasn't going to be here today when I announced that Betty was bringing the message. Ah, ha, ha, yes, I am. It would be horrible if your pastor didn't show up for Commitment Sunday. You all have to commit, but I'm going out of town. No. I'm here because I think Commitment Sunday is very, very important. But I think it's also important to hear from your lay leader and your sister in Christ. So, Betty, I'm going to ask you to come on up here. And thank you so much for being willing to bring the word this morning.
The scripture today comes from Luke, the 20th chapter, and the 45th verse. In the hearing of all the people, he said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." May God bless the reading of his word. Thanks be to God. It's not the size of the gift. It's the size of our faith. It's not how much we give, it's how much we keep. Now, Jesus observes this poor widow putting money into the temple treasury and uses the opportunity to teach his disciples and us God's perspective on giving. Jesus shows us that instead of how much we give, God looks at the circumstances in which we give and how much we keep for ourselves. In teaching his disciples, Jesus first focused on the person giving rather than the gift given. The gift giver was a poor widow. The significance of this would not be lost on the disciples because most widows in those days were greatly advantaged. Under the Mosaic dispensation, no legal provision was made for the maintenance of widows. They were left dependent partly on the affection of relatives, more especially of the eldest son, whose birthright or extra share of the property imposed such a duty upon him. The loss of a husband in ancient Israel was normally a social and economic tragedy. In general, patriarchal culture, the death of a husband usually meant a type of cultural death as well. Her crisis was aggravated if she had no able-bodied children to maintain the estate and to continue payments on debts accrued by her husband imposed severe burdens. Since she was in an extremely vulnerable economic position, she became the prime target of exploitation. The fact that she was classed with the landless stranger and the Levite indicates that she was often unable to keep her husband's land. Now, Jesus wanted them to realize that the poor widow's gift was a great value because she gave even though she was in need herself. Paul echoes this principle in when he praised the generosity of the Macedonian churches, which through poor gave liberally. Now, I want to talk about our church and how we came to be where we are now, because you all know that the other church burned down. Well, not all of you may know. If you're visitors, you may not know that, but we had another church and it burned down. But our members mourned. They mourned for a brief period. And after that, they decided that they were going to get together and pray and find out what it was that God wanted for them. Because they're feeling like this lost flock now, out there wandering around, have no church building to worship in. They could have given up, but they didn't. They stayed committed to the cause. They wanted to do God's will, and they pulled together, and they petitioned God for a new church. And guess what? They got it. This is the new church. I thank God for those prayer warriors. Because if it wasn't for them, I don't know where Ken and I would be today. Because of them, we have a building to come to worship in. They had commitments, and they kept them. It was a great loss to have to face that uncertain future at the time. Without that church building to unite in each week. Whenever we suffer these great losses, in this case was our church building, or it could be a relative or a friend, we don't understand the reason why. However, our love of the Lord somehow gives us the strength to recover. We exercise our faith to see us through it. The sermon this morning is how far will you go? In this case, many of you fought to the finish to get this new church built. You made a commitment, and with God's help, you stuck with it. That's what it's all about, church people. Sometimes our individual economic situations change and we fall short of our goals. Now, since the church needs our support, it can suffer when giving is down, which is why, as a congregation, we have to exercise solidarity as a majority. Now, by the way, how many people think that we are exempt from paying our tithes when we're absent from church? If we miss a Sunday or two or go on vacation, we are still committed to contributing to the upkeep of the church. Because guess what? The church does not go on vacation or sabbatical or take sick or personal days. It's always here for the work of God. I believe that God loves St. John's. He just wanted the congregation to move to its present location. Many of us might not believe that because it seems to be taking a while for members to arrive, new members to arrive. Don't worry, because God has big plans for our church. You know why? Because he is committed. When we obey him and follow his lead, we will begin to see greater things coming to and going from St. John's. But we need to let his will be done, not ours. When I was studying, doing research for this sermon, because I'm not an ordained minister, I'm just one of you guys. I'm a layperson. And I wasn't really sure where I was going to head. I just prayed and said, Lord, just help me, because I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing. I've never done this before. I don't even know why you wanted me to do this. But all those people are going to be looking at me crazy and stuff, and I don't know what I'm, and I'm just nervous. And so I just, God sort of took me, you know, God is, he's so good. He just takes over, and he just takes you here. You get a little bit right there, takes you over there, you get a little bit there, you take a little bit there, and he brings it all together. And hopefully it makes sense. I want to talk about a call to commitment, because that's what we're here for today. It's Commitment Sunday. There's a scripture in Romans 12, 1 through 2, that you can read at your leisure, and that's about commitment. But right now, I want to introduce you to a mythical church member that I'm going to call Kenny, probably because my husband's name is Ken. When we first meet Kenny, he is attending services at First Church, but he left because the services were too formal. Everyone on the platform wore a tie. He and his family then wandered over to Grace Church because they had a great choir. But before long, we hear they are happy at the Christian Worship Center. But before long, they moved their membership to the community church because of the great Bible teaching. After that, the youth program at New Hope catches their eye. Now, at least for the moment, they are at the church uptown, at least until something else catches their roving eye. Whatever happened to commitment? Why do you suppose that there are close to 100 million church members in America, yet they are not making more of a moral and spiritual impact? Why is it on Sunday mornings, thousands of churches have more empty pews than full? Why is it that the average Sunday school in America has less than 66 in attendance, which I think is a whole lot, and that the worship service has 84? Ooh. Why is it that only 50% of the numbers on any church membership roll can be expected to attend? Wait a minute, I don't think I got that right. Hold on, let me try that again. Why is it that only 50% of the numbers on any church membership roll can be expected to attend? Only half. If Christians really believe in a real heaven and a real hell, how can we be so silent? The answer to all these questions is tragically simple. God's people have made a decision about Jesus. Now, that was a decision. We make decisions all the time. They've made a decision about Jesus, but they've never made a commitment to him. There is, of course, a difference between a decision and a commitment. Perhaps this cannot be seen any clearer than it is in the failure rate of marriages in America. According to statistics, at least 50% of all marriages will end in divorce. Why do you suppose that is happening? Well, there's a man named Charles Stanley. In his book, Confronting Casual Christianity, says that it is because these couples made a decision, but they did not make a commitment. Every person who married made a decision to marry this person. It was my decision to marry Ken. It was Ken's decision to marry me. They stood before a preacher and they made promises and recited vows. They made a decision. They kissed each other and walked out together to live, but not necessarily happily ever after, and not necessarily together. So why did they divorce? The answer is they made a decision, but they did not truly commit their lives to each other. But when a couple marries and makes a commitment to one another, that is a different story. The same is true in the church. The reason that the church is not making more of an impact on our society is that many church members made a decision about Christ, but have not made a commitment to Christ. When the pilot of a giant airline is speeding down the runway, there's a certain point where stand on the ground is no longer an option. When he crosses that line, he is committed to the air. He will take off or a disastrous crash is imminent. The pilot can no longer change his mind. He is committed. Unfortunately, the churches are filled with members who have never gotten off the ground. They've been sitting there, gunning their engines, making noise, but getting nowhere. They've been planning on it, aiming to, but the tragedy of tragedies, they have never gotten off the ground. Now, I want to challenge you this morning to get off the ground. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul issues a clear call for commitment when he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that this is good, what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." The word present is a technical Greek word used for offering a sacrifice. This is a voluntary act. It does not say, "I command you." It says, "I beseech you," or "I beg you." This is something that is completely up to you. He says the motivation is to be remembering the mercies of God. Now close your eyes for just a moment. Everybody, close your eyes for just a moment. And I want you to think of all that God has done in your life. Think of the mercies of God based on what you have received. Can you really say you owe him nothing? You can open your eyes now. When we reflect on the goodness of God, how can we be anything other than committed? Paul goes on to say that it is our reasonable service. Based on what we have received, it is logical that we would commit ourselves to God. You can do this when I need to shut up. Under the sacrificial system, the animal to be sacrificed was committed to the priest, was killed and consumed on the altar. The believers are told that they are to present themselves as living sacrifices, with the understanding that there is no such thing as a partial sacrifice or a partial commitment. It's all or nothing. It is impossible to be sort of committed. You're either committed or you're not committed. It is not possible to be a partial sacrifice. You might know this story, but there's a story told about a pig and a chicken walking down the road together. As they walked along, they read a sign advertising a breakfast to benefit the poor. The chicken said to the pig, "You and I should donate a ham and egg breakfast." The pig replied, "Not so fast. For you, it would just be a contribution. But for me, it would be a total commitment." To commit ourselves to God means that we are to yield ourselves to Him, surrender to Him, abandon ourselves to Him, entrust ourselves to Him, and place ourselves at His disposal. True commitment is not something that you can take back. Verse 2 says, "And not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed." There are two words in the original Greek that describe, that deserve special attention. The first is the word translated conform. This is the word that we get our English word scheme from. It means confirmation. That is conformation, not confirmation. Conformation, that is outward without necessarily any inner change. The word is also sometimes translated as fashioned. And he says, do not allow yourself to adopt the fashion of this world, to be forced into its mold. The second word is the word translated transformed. This is the word from which we get the English word metamorphosis. This is an interchange which has observable outward manifestations. This is not something you do yourself. If you present yourself as a living sacrifice, you reflect on the mercies of God. You will be transformed progressively. You notice, you see that in people sometimes. It's like you see them one way and all of a sudden they're changing and you're like, ooh, they're getting so nice. They used to do this, they used to do that. They used to be this way, they used to be that way. And now, wow, you see the change because they're being transformed. I like that. I like to be able to walk around and say, I'm a transformer. Or maybe I'm transformed. I'm not the transformer, but I'm transformed. Today I want you to see with me three clear calls to commitment that every believer has to face. This is based on the supposition that you made more than a decision about Christ and that you have already made a personal commitment to Christ. One is commitment to personal growth. We are called to commit ourselves as disciples. Disciples are learners. We should never reach a point in life at which we are no longer learners. We never reach a point in life at which we have arrived. But there's some people who think they have arrived. Okay, the next one I want to talk about is the commitment to the local body. We watch the parade of people through our church and, of course, through other churches. And you wonder why so few commit themselves to a local body of believers in a significant way. Many sit and soak and do little else, and they flee at the first sign of trouble or pressure. They fail to become involved or to give. The priority for corporate worship falls far down on the list. They criticize all that is wrong with a specific local church or congregation. What can we do besides comment or complain? We need to accept the challenge to commit ourselves to responsible membership. I'm going a little faster because I realize the time is going. Okay. We need to make a financial commitment to our church. Tithing should be a definite commitment and not only a decision. Otherwise, it might not be consistent. The church needs everyone's tithes and offering to continue God's ministry. Will you make a commitment today? If you have not committed yourself to the Lord, then you need to begin there. Once you've committed yourself to the Lord, will you commit yourself to personal growth? Institute some practical steps to do so, beginning today. Will you commit yourself to this local church if you haven't already? Be in your place. Don't allow yourself to be distracted from being a part of the church. Be involved. Find a Sunday school class. Commit yourself to begin building some new relationships within the church. Be loyal. You will never get your neighbor to visit a church that you're constantly finding fault with. Will you make a commitment that you're going to look for opportunities, put your talents and abilities to work? The greatest ability is availability. Don't wait for someone to ask you. Volunteer to help. Will you make a commitment to support the church with your tithes and offerings? Help keep God's mission and work spreading around the community and elsewhere. On this Commitment Sunday, please submit your completed cards at the end of the service today. If we all make those commitments today, the church would be a different place. The church would be what God intended it to be. How far will you go to make it all happen? May God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.